He is no stranger to camp meeting. And I love him. He's God's man for this hour. The Lord touched my heart about these three Bumgarners are preaching, one right after another. Amen. And you hear him gladly tonight and you help him. Amen, Brother James. They'll run the light for you. Love.
Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with us to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. I thank the Lord for allowing me to be in the camp meeting. I thank the Lord for letting me be saved. There's a lot of things I've done ain't going to get me out of this world. But I'm glad that day the Lord saved me. Going to get me out of this world. And I thank him. I remember that day as clear as the day it happened. And I thank the Lord that he loved me enough to come where I was and save me by his grace. Let's look into the Word of God tonight for just a moment. This is a very familiar story. I want to look at verse number 12. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had eight sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the third Shemaiah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. He really thought he was something. And Jesse said unto David, his father, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to the brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their household, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. I want us to look for just a moment in verse 17. David's father, Jesse, said to David, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves. I want to try to preach for just a few moments tonight on carrying bread to my brothers. Carrying bread to our brothers. Doing something that will be a blessing and a benefit for someone else is a mighty good Christian way to show that you are a Christian. Amen. David was a man after God's own heart. And he was also shows an example of Christian helpfulness. David was the least in his family. Had eight sons, and David was the last one. David was also the last one to be chosen. If you look at chapter 16. David was loyal to his job. It's amazing how many things David did and accomplished in his life. He was a keeper of his father's sheep. Amen. You got to know something if you're going to keep sheep. Amen. He was not only a keeper of his father's sheep, he was a musician for the king. Amen. There was an evil spirit come upon Saul. But you find in chapter 16, verse 23, David took his harp out and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed. Amen. He was a keeper of his father's sheep. He was a musician for the king. He was also an armor bearer for the king. Amen. He was a killer of giants. But David was also a carrier of bread. When I looked at that, it just got a hold on me. I've had the privilege, since God called me to preach, I pastored at St. John Baptist Church for 14 years. And the Lord, every Sunday, I don't remember. If I did, I don't remember it, but I don't think I did. But I don't remember ever missing a Sunday, Steve. And I got to carry the bread to that little crowd up yonder in Burke County. Amen. You say, well, what kind of preaching did you do? I just tried my best to carry the bread. And it sure was good to walk in there every Sunday and see them hungry. It sure does make preaching a whole lot easier and a whole lot better when you see your little crowd hungry. And when you walk in and see them hungry, you better have some bread. You better carry some bread in. Amen. We had a gentleman there by the name of Press Huffman. Yeah, he sat on the front pew right down there in front of me. And I was a-preaching one Sunday, and the Lord is a-blessing. And all of a sudden, Press Huffman jumped up out of his pew, turned around and run just as hard as he could run to the front of the church, went, swung the doors open and went out. You say, what'd you do? Well, I didn't know what he's doing and where he's going. So I just kept carrying the bread. In about 15 minutes, here he come back in just a flying. I mean down the aisle and sat right back down on the front pew. At least 15 minutes later. After service, I said, Brother Press, I got a question. I said, why did you jump up and run out, and then 15, 20 minutes later, you come back in and sat down? He said, Preacher, got to crying. He said, Preacher, I forgot while I was sitting on the pew, I'd forgot to bring my tithes. Hallelujah. He said, I forgot to bring my tithes. Amen. And I said, well, Brother Press, why didn't you just wait till the night service and bring it? And he said, oh, no. That's just the way he done it. He said, oh, no. He said, I couldn't wait till the night. He said, if I'd waited till night, he said, I was afraid the Lord would, he said, have my truck tore up and the washing machine tore up. And the dryer tore up, and he said the horses had got out of the barn. He said, I was afraid to wait. Amen. Here's what he said. He said, the Lord has been so good to me. He said, I couldn't afford to wait till tonight. And hallelujah, one of them deacons that always slept while I preached was sitting over there in the choir on the back row. And about that time when Press said I couldn't afford to wait till tonight, amen, he woke up and he said, amen. He didn't even know what was going on, but he said, amen. Amen. David, thank God, was a keeper of the sheep and a musician for the king and an armor bearer for the king. And a killer of giants, but he was still willing to carry the bread. He could have spent his entire life being an armor bearer, a musician, but he wanted to be a carrier of bread. Amen. Thank the Lord. David, I want you to notice the place that David received the bread. Before I say that, the Lord allowed me, after I left St. John, to come down to Lyledown. Let me be there 17 years. And I got to carry the bread for 17 years. Woo. Got to carry the bread for 17 years to that crowd down there. I ain't got time to tell you about all of them. We had a man in there, a young man, had a wife and some children. Sat on the front pew like Press did. Amen. His name is Randy Stafford. Amen. Cut timber for a living. Every Sunday, Brother Stephen, I'd go in, shake his hand. He'd shake my hand and say, "Preacher, I'm hungry." And then he'd say, "Preacher, you got any bread today?" He said, "I'm so hungry." He said, "Have you got a good one today? I need to eat." He said, "I'm going to pray for you." For 17 years, I tried to carry the bread. When I left there, I went down to Hams Grove, a little church down in Iredell County. Didn't know a soul down there, maybe a couple. And for nearly 9 years now, he let me carry the bread. Hallelujah. What a privilege. I want you to notice the place David received the bread. In verse 17. Amen. I can't hardly read it. "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren." The father said to the youngest son David, he said, "Here's 10 loaves. He said, "Here's a pack of bread. How about taking it to your brothers? How about carrying it over yonder where your brothers are at?" And his brothers kind of wanted to be in the spotlight. They's over yonder with Saul, the king. And he said, "I want you to take this bread over there to your brother." David got the bread from his father. Amen. And by the way, it was not just a biscuit. It was 10 loaves. It was not, I tell you, used bread or leftover bread. It was hot bread. It was not just life. It was the bread of life. The Bible says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7, he said, "and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth." That's Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. He said, "You need to carry some bread because you don't know what's ahead. You don't know what you're going to be facing." And he said, "David, carry some bread over to your brothers because we don't know what they're going to get into and what they're going to be facing." You don't either. I don't either. I don't know what'll happen tomorrow. I don't know what'll happen before tomorrow. But I sure would like to carry some bread. Some bread that'd help you, some hot bread. Amen. David brought King Saul some bread. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, it's not my position and it's not my job concerning what you do with it when I get it there. All I'm supposed to do is carry some bread. Hallelujah. And say, hey, here's some bread I brought you. I hope you enjoy it. The world doesn't have any bread, and Satan doesn't have any bread, and man himself doesn't have any bread. The religious world doesn't have any bread. Modernism doesn't have any bread. Liberalism doesn't have any bread. The social clubs doesn't have any bread. The only ones I know, hallelujah, that have some bread is these preachers are sitting around here, hallelujah. And this crowd, thank God, probably a little bit hungry. And I sure would like to feed you just a little bit tonight. Thank God from the bread of heaven. And guess who that is? That's Jesus. Amen. Where do we get our bread? From the Father. Amen. From the Father. I think it says somewhere that the Father has bread enough and to spare. I don't know about you, but I believe, Steve. I believe I can live on the spare. Hallelujah. I really do. It don't take much bread to get me excited. It doesn't take much bread to get me more hungry. It doesn't take much bread, thank God, to let me know that it's so good for me and I enjoy it. I'm praying and hoping, thank God, you'll like it and you'll enjoy it. And say, I'd like some more. Amen. We had two or three rolls left from something. And I done eat two of them. And Kay got one. I don't remember if it was this morning or yesterday or when, but she got the last one. And she come through where I was at. And she had taken a couple of bites off of it, and I just reached up and got it out of her hand and took it and went and ate it. And I've been blessed with a good wife. She never said a thing, even though I could see she wanted to. Amen. There's nothing any better, whether it's the preacher trying to give it to you, that Sunday school teacher trying to give it to you, thank God, your wife trying to give it to you. Your children trying to give it to you. Thank God, or another preacher trying to give it to you. The bread, hallelujah, is that good, regardless of who's giving it to you. We got bread from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Amen. We see the place David received the bread from his father. We see the people David took the bread to. In verse 17, and Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an epeth of this parched corn and these 10 loaves. The bread was for those in the palace. If you look at chapter 16, and verse 19 and 20. David brought King Saul some bread. But David not only brought bread for those in the palace, but David brought bread for those on the battlefield. His brothers was out there with Saul trying to fight the battle. Bread, there's bread for those in the battlefield. Amen. They sure do. I've been on the battlefield, and I'm on the battlefield. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're being on the battlefield, and you are on the battlefield. It's not, I tell you, a bed of roses. It's the battlefield, and we all need some good bread. Amen. You say, who did he take them to? He took them to his brothers. He said in verse 18, carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000 and see and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. What an honor to carry bread to your brothers. I'm the only one left in my family. My dad's gone. Can I just give you this about my daddy? My daddy and Steve mentioned some of them men by name. Ozzie Barnes, Earl Robinette, and some of them up at Poplar Springs Baptist Church when I was just a little boy. And you know what? My daddy cut timber all his life, and you know what he'd do? I'd help him. I learned how to do all of that through my daddy, cutting timber. But every time my daddy would stop to fill up the gas in the chainsaw, he'd go ahead and fill it up. And then he'd look at me and he'd say, son, before we start back cutting, he said, let's pray. I prayed on a many a mountain around here where me and my daddy, hallelujah, had a word of prayer. Amen. And do you know he'd fill that thing up 4 or 5 times in a day's time? And every time he said, now we can't go back to work till we pray. Hallelujah. You know what my daddy's doing? He's feeding me some bread. Whew. He's feeding me some bread. And I'd hear my daddy say this. He'd say, now, we need to pray that it might rain. Not so he could get out of work, not so they could get out of going to the mill and sawing. He'd say, now, son, we need to pray that it might rain. I said, Daddy, how come we want it to rain? He said, because we want to go to the church and pray. He'd say, we need to pray for rain so we can go to the church and pray. Amen. Now, there's a lot of things I forgot about what my daddy said, but I got news for you. I ain't never forgot that. Hallelujah. And I guess I prayed a whole lot more since my daddy said that. Amen. My mama told me to pray one time, and I said, Mama, I can't. I'd spent 67 nights down at Ida Memorial Hospital. 67 nights with my mother. I stayed of a night, my sister stayed in the daytime. One night after 67 days, my mother got me over by the bedside and she said, James, I want you to take me home in the morning when the sun comes up. I said, Mother, they've been awful good to you down here. And she said, I know that. She said, but you promise me that you'll take me in the morning home when the sun comes up. I said, Mother, I will. About 3 days after we got her home, I was staying up every night, sleeping, me and my sister both. I was back there on the bed trying to get a nap. My sister come and said, you need to come back in here. Mama wants to see you. I went back in there, Joe, and my mama looked right at me and took me by the hand, and she said, James, I want you to get down right here in front of me, and I want you to pray that the Lord will come and get me tonight. I said, Mother, you know the Lord's been so good to you. She said, I know, but I want to see him. I said, Mother, I'm just not sure I can pray a prayer like that. You know what my mother did? She raised up enough her head and looked me right at me in the face. She said, I'm not asking you to. Said, I'm a telling you to. And she wasn't as big as I am. Little thing, wasn't she? She said, I'm not asking you to. She said, I'm telling you to. So I did my best to pray. Went back in there and laid back down. About an hour, my sister come and got me again. I went back in there, and my sister Ellen said, Mother's just about gone. I got down there and held her by the hand. And she jerked her hands out of my hands and said, back up. And I'm not here just to tell you a story. But God was in the whole thing. She said, back up. And I backed up. And she got to doing this. Woo! Yes. Lord, have mercy. The many times Mother had set me down beside of her when I was a little bitty boy and opened that Bible and read the Word of God to me. Hallelujah. And she got to doing that. I said, Mother, what are you doing? She said, I'm down there by the river. Woo! She said, I'm down there by the river. And she said, I'm just hunting a place to cross. About 30 minutes later, my sister, I'd went to the restroom. My sister knocked on the door. She said, come on. Said, Mama found a place to cross. Who in the world did David take the bread to? His brothers. Amen. There's bread for those in the palace, but there's bread for those on the battlefield. There's bread for those on the deathbed. Psalms 109, verse 22 says, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. There's many sitting in the church, in the pews tonight probably, to fit that verse. You've been tossed up and down. You're discouraged. You fought the battle and seem like you've lost. I'm glad I can carry a little bread tonight. There was some persecution handed out to the one carrying the bread in verse 28. David's brother said, what are you doing here? Not only what are you doing here, why are you here? Why'd you even come? He handed them some bread. We can't make them eat it. But I sure can hand it to him. Last of all, there was a pledge returned to the supplier of bread. In verse 18, and carry these 10 loaves unto the captain of their 1,000. And look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. And take their pledge. A personal item. Maybe a piece of clothing. Maybe a lock of hair. Assured the father they were all right. Took it back to the father. Now I don't know David did this, and he probably didn't, but I got to thinking. A better pledge of victory would be, a better pledge of victory was not a lock of hair. It's just the whole head of Goliath. Amen. Now, I don't know David did that. He probably didn't, but it'd have been all right if he'd have wanted to. Yeah, he carried it. Amen. I just want to be one of those that'll carry some bread to the brothers. Amen. Thank you so much for praying for us.